Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome back to the weekly radio broadcast from Independence Baptist Church. Now, earlier this month, we started a series on the death of Christ, and today is going to be part three in this series, and we're going to be focusing on the forgiveness that we see from Christ even while he was being crucified. So let's go ahead and join Pastor Reynolds as he continues talking about the death of Jesus Christ.
This morning, we'd like to read in the book of Luke chapter 23 and verse 32 through verse 34. The Bible said here in this place, "And there were also two others, malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand, and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots." This passage tells us that men had now done their worst. The one by whom the world was made had come into it, but the world did not know him. The Lord of glory had tabernacled with men, but they did not want him. The eyes which sin had blinded saw in him no beauty that he should be desired. At his birth, there was no room for Jesus Christ at the end, which showed the treatment that he would receive at the hands of sinful men. Shortly after his birth, King Herod sought to slay him, and this showed us the treatment that he was to receive at the hands of wicked men for the entire ministry. Again and again, his enemies attempted his destruction, and now their vile desires are granted to them. Now the Son of Man yields himself up into their hands. They had had a mock trial the night before, and though his judges found no fault in him, nevertheless, they had yielded to the incessant clamoring of those who hated him as they cried again and again, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" So now, Jesus Christ is dying, but it is no ordinary death that would suffice for the people who would not be appeased. A death of intense suffering and shame was decided upon. A cross had been secured. Christ had been nailed to that cross. And there Christ hangs silently. Oftentimes, I think of Jesus Christ as he freely lays his hand apart and there feels the nails as they are driven into his hands and into his feet. I think of the sufferings that our Savior went through on the cross of Calvary, not for his sins, yet he died for our sins. It was while Jesus Christ was hanging upon the cross between two thieves that Jesus Christ prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Notice at the very first that Jesus Christ is praying for sinners. How significant this is to us. Jesus Christ's ministry had been opened with prayer, and here we find it closing in prayer. Surely, surely this is a good example for us to always pray for our enemies. Pray for those that would hurt us. Pray for those that would kill us. Pray that God would be honored and glorified, whatever happens. Jesus Christ would be nailed unto the cross. He can no longer instruct his disciples. He can no longer heal those that are sick. But how does Jesus Christ conduct himself at the very last, when he is hanging upon the cross of Calvary? Jesus Christ is doing there, that we all should take notice of, that Jesus Christ is there praying for sinners. Now, perhaps you might think, I'm too old to do anything at all for God. Possibly in the days gone by, you were a teacher, or maybe you were a preacher. Maybe you were a Sunday school teacher. Maybe you just passed out tracts. But now, you cannot do anything at all. But you are still on the earth. Perhaps you're listening in a nursing home. Perhaps you're listening in a hospital. But listen, God has a plan for your life. And God wants you to be a witness for Him, for He knows what you're going through. You might accomplish more in your last days than you would ever accomplish throughout your entire life. But now is a time to pray to the Almighty God. Jesus Christ has given to us this example of praying for sinners while He is on the cross of Calvary. When He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Elijah was a man that we read about in the Bible. He could not overcome the pagan religions of the day. But Elijah prayed that God would stop the rain, and it stopped the rain. But Elijah didn't stop there. Elijah prayed again that it might rain, and God sent the rain. Why? So that those that listen could understand the power and the strength of Almighty God. He is well able to bless in many things if we just ask Him to take care of it. In praying for His enemies, not only did Christ set us a perfect example of how we should treat those who treat us wrong, but He also taught us to never regard anybody as beyond the reach of Jesus Christ. If Christ prayed for His murderers, then surely we should be encouraged by this to pray for those that hurt us and for those that despise us. This teaches us a very valuable truth. Never lose hope. It might seem a waste of time for you to continue praying for that man or the woman, but there's never any place for us to ever give up in praying. For God can do things that we never even thought about doing. God can bless. God can turn a situation around. And we need to always pray that God's will be done. It might seem a waste of time for you to continue to pray for that man or that woman, or perhaps that wayward child of yours. Does their case seem hopeless every day? Listen, no person has ever undergone more than Jesus Christ went through. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, died for the sins of mankind. Perhaps one of your loved ones is now involved in a satanic cult. I don't know. But listen, God does know. And God is well able to bless. Remember what Jesus Christ prayed for on the cross of Calvary. He prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Listen, when Jesus Christ prayed this prayer on the cross of Calvary, He was not just filling up time. He was not filling up just space. The Bible gives us in Luke 23 this very valuable prayer that Jesus Christ prayed when He was dying on the cross of Calvary. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Let me ask you the question. Was Jesus Christ's prayer answered? Did the Father really hear Him when He prayed? Did the Father answer the prayer of Jesus Christ? Listen, I read to you once again. In the book of Luke 23, Jesus prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We might think this is never going to be answered because the people that hated Jesus Christ, the people that rejected him, the people that had listened to him, the people that had turned their back upon Jesus Christ were the ones that nailed him to the cross. We might think this prayer would never, ever, in a million years, ever be answered. But listen, Jesus Christ, when he prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, his prayer was answered. Listen, on the day of Pentecost, Peter preached a great message. He preached a message that would cause people to hear. And he prayed in verse 22 of Acts 2, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know." Look in verse 23 of Acts 2. "Him, being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands you have crucified and slain the Son of God." This struck condemnation in their hearts. And this led to the people's reply in verse 37 of Acts 2. When they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and unto the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter answered and said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are far off, and as many as the Lord our God shall call." I say unto you that it was not Peter's eloquence that caused these 3,000 souls to be saved on this day of Pentecost. It was not Peter's eloquence. It was the Savior's prayer that was answered on the day of Pentecost. But notice further in the book of Acts chapter 3, the Bible says in verse number 17, as Peter preached to another group of people, and he said, "And now, brethren, I want that through ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers. But these things which God before has showed by the mouth of all of his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you." Think of the power that Jesus Christ had when he prayed this fervent prayer, answering the requirement that God's will be done. And God's will was done. But listen, think of this, that Jesus' prayer was recorded for us in the book of John 17, when Jesus Christ prayed unto his heavenly Father. But Jesus Christ in this prayer prayed for you, and he prayed for me. This is a very great thing that was done. The Bible said in John 17, verse 20, as I read this for proof, Jesus prayed, "Neither pray I for these alone," but notice what he says in the latter part of this verse, "but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." Once more, let us profit from the great example that Christ has given to us. Let us make intercession for the enemies of God. And if we pray in faith, we shall also pray effectively unto the salvation of lost sinners. Listen, that person that you've been wanting to be saved, but they've not heard anything. Maybe they've even gone the wrong way. Maybe they've even committed a crime. Perhaps they're even in jail at this present time. But don't give up on them. Continue to pray that God would intervene. God can. It just may be that in jail, with nothing to do but read their Bible, that they will hear the Word of God, and the Lord will grant them eternal life. Understand that we're just here in this world for a little while. Understand that we have eternity ahead of us. Eternity is time without any kind of end at all. There are no clocks in heaven. There's no measuring of time there. What we're fighting for is the fight of faith, the fight of true faith, the real faith, believing in Christ and trusting in Him. Only Christ gave us this perfect example that we should pray, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But in this prayer that Jesus Christ prayed, it is a fulfillment of Isaiah 53 and verse number 12, where it was prophesied that Jesus Christ would there make intercession for the transgressors. Jesus Christ prayed for sinners on the cross of Calvary. And Jesus Christ has given to us this example of whatever we're going through now, that we ought to always think of eternity. That is the most important thing of all. It is not us. It is what God wants of us, to point people unto Jesus Christ, for He is the only one that can save their unworthy soul. In Isaiah 53, the Bible tells us here at least 10 things about the humiliation and the suffering of Jesus Christ. The Bible declares in Isaiah 53 that Jesus Christ would be despised and rejected of men, that Jesus Christ would be a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, that Jesus Christ will be wounded and bruised and chastened, that Jesus Christ will be led to slaughter, that Jesus Christ will be dumb before His shearers, that Jesus Christ should not only suffer at the hands of wicked men, but also Jesus Christ would be bruised by the Lord, that He should pour out His soul unto death, that Jesus Christ would be buried in a rich man's tomb. And then it was added that Jesus Christ would be numbered with the transgressors. Here then was the prophecy, and made intercession for the transgressors. There was the perfect fulfillment of it all, when Jesus Christ prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus Christ thought of His murderers. He thought of His crucifiers. He made intercession for the transgressors. He asked God to forgive them. Sometimes, when people do us dirty, the first thought out of our mind is that we're going to do them more dirty than they did us. Jesus Christ did not do that. Jesus Christ willingly prayed for them. And Jesus Christ is our perfect example of how we should be when people do us dirty. When people do us wrong, we should never strike out at them. We should always pray for them and ask God to forgive them. Forgiveness is a divine prerogative. It is what Jesus Christ asked His Father to do. I know that this can happen to us as well. But I find this, that I find my own sins bounding up before me whenever somebody does me wrong. It is not what somebody else has done. It is that I have sinned in the sight of Almighty God. I find in this place that David prayed in Psalms 19, verse number 12. He said, "Cleanse thou me from secret sins." David is not stating that he has kept any kind of sin secret. David did not do that. But David here is praying that God would forgive him for hidden sins, things that he's overlooked in his life. David wants to be right before Almighty God. And he is praying that God would cleanse him from secret sins. Sin is always sin in the sight of God, whether we're conscious of it or not. Sins of ignorance need atonement just as truly as do sins that we know about. God is holy, and he will not lower his standard of righteousness to the level of our ignorance. Ignorance is our ignorance, not God's ignorance. God has very clearly and very fully revealed his will. The Bible is in our hands, and we cannot plead ignorance of its contents except to condemn our own laziness in reading the Word of God. God has spoken, and by his Word we shall be judged. And yet the fact remains that we are ignorant of many things, and the fault and the blame is our own. But this does not minimize the enormity of our guilt before Almighty God. Sins of ignorance need forgiveness, just as the Lord's Prayer here plainly shows, when Jesus Christ plainly said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." We must understand that God's standard is very high. Our standard is very low. But God's standard is infinitely high. We have a great need for forgiveness of sins. The only way we can thank God for our salvation, that he's cleansed us from all of our sin, is to recognize that Jesus Christ was right when he prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." This does not mean that the enemies of Christ were ignorant of the fact of his crucifixion. I think they were very well aware of what they were doing. But they did not know that they were crucifying the Son of God and putting him to an open shame. They knew full well that Jesus Christ had been crucified, that he had been nailed to the cross. They were eyewitnesses of the crime. Somebody had to drive the nails into his hands and into his feet. But they did not understand the enormity of their crime. Neither do we understand the enormity of our sins against Almighty God. They knew not that it was the Lord of glory they were crucifying. The emphasis is not on "they knew not." The emphasis is upon "they know not what they do." They ought to have known, but they did not know. Their blindness and our blindness is absolutely inexcusable. The Old Testament prophecies which they had received show plainly that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he is the one that they are guilty of crucifying. Jesus Christ's teaching was very unique. His critics were forced to admit this in John 17, verse number 46, when they said, "Never man spake like this man." That's absolutely the truth. Jesus Christ lived a very perfect life. He had lived before men as no other man had ever lived. He pleased not himself. Jesus Christ went about doing good. He was ever at the disposal of others. There was no self-seeking about him. His life was a life of self-sacrifice from the beginning all the way to the very end. His life was lived for the glory of God. It was God himself who said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." No, there is no excuse for the ignorance. There's no excuse for our ignorance either. It only demonstrated the blindness of their hearts. The rejection of the Son of God bore full witness, once and for all, that the carnal mind is enmity against God. But I say it once again, it may seem to you as a matter of little importance what you do. For years you may have resisted the strivings of the Spirit of God. For years you may have shelved the all-important consideration of what you're going to do with Jesus Christ. You may have pushed back in your mind the thought that you're going to spend eternity in either heaven or hell. For years, you may have steeled your heart against Jesus Christ and against his plain teachings. For years, you may have closed your eyes to his appeal and shut your eyes to his suppressing beauty. Ah, you know what you do. You're blind to your madness, blind to your terrible sin. But that doesn't mean you are without excuse. You may be saved now, if you will. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Come to the Savior today. Say with one of old, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." You pray today that God would bless you, that you might be right before him.
Thank you, Pastor Reynolds, for the message. It's really good. It occurred to me while we were listening there that we look so many times at those who physically crucified Christ, or at least maybe those that called for his crucifixion, and we kind of shake our heads and wonder, and how could they do that? But in reality, it was because of my sin that Jesus was on the cross. And, I might not have called for his crucifixion. I might not have actually helped hang him there. But he willingly suffered all of that because I was a sinner and I needed a way of pardon. I needed a way of redemption. I needed a way of forgiveness. And even when being unjustly crucified, he prayed that those that were doing it would be forgiven. But it seems like it wasn't just for those that physically were standing there. He died so that I could be forgiven of my sins. And he has suffered an amazing amount. And he's offered this amazing gift. And we just pray that those of you that are out there today that are lost will see your need of salvation. You'll see that he was on the cross for your sin. You'll trust that he has done the work, and then accept his free gift of salvation. Now, if you'd like to talk with us about this, you can call us today at 636-673-2180. We'll be starting services this morning at 10 a.m. for Sunday school, 11 a.m. worship services, 3:45 prayer meeting, and 4:30 worship services. So if you call that number, we pretty well get there between 10 and are there most of the day. Now, if you're anywhere near Forestdale, Missouri, it would be even better, of course, if you could just stop by and visit us in person. We'd be more than willing to talk to you about the gospel message, or maybe there's somebody out there today that's already saved, but you're looking for a good, solid, Bible-based church that you'd like to attend. Feel free to stop by and visit with us. Our building is at 124 South Main Street in Forestdale, Missouri, and we'd enjoy being able to visit with you. Now, if you'd like more information about our church, a great way to do that is just log on to our website at www.independencebaptist.org. From there, you can read a lot of different books, articles, tracts, and other information about our church. Well, our time has disappeared from us, but we're thankful you're able to join us, and we trust you'll join us again next Sunday at 8 a.m.